Welcome to the Mobile App Flipping Podcast. This is your host, Johan Tayeb. My goal is to help you get the most out of reskilling apps. Whether you're already a full-time entrepreneur or trying to get a business going, this podcast is for you. We will be interviewing professionals that are already doing app reskilling for a living. We will also invite source code sellers to get to learn about what they have to offer. And finally, we will talk to industry experts to learn how to become more productive at flipping apps. And now, without further ado, let's get started. Okay, today I have an amazing guest. You're going to love this one. His name is Austin Church. You probably haven't heard about his name, but he's the man behind all those great reskinnable source code that you have out there. So please welcome with me the legendary Austin Church. Hello, Austin.
Thank you, Johan. I hope to eventually earn the title legendary.
Oh, come on. You already have it. You're the one with Mustache Bash, Viva Stampede, Random Fact Generator, and even some crazy other ones out there. Thanks for providing such great source code for our audience. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad that people have used this stuff and been able to make some money doing it.
Excellent. So tell us a little bit more about yourself. Who are you and what's your background and how did you get into this industry?
Well, I have 2 degrees in English, so I thought I was going to be a college English professor.
Whoa, you come from pretty far, man.
Yeah, so I finished my master's and got out of school and had a conversation with my dad, a very frank conversation in which he said, we're cutting you off, you need to get a job. And so what I did was I got a job as a copywriter at a marketing firm. You know, I was writing web content and blog posts, press releases, brochures, advertisements, just about anything you can think of, and got laid off about 6 months later, and that was actually close to 5 years ago now.
And okay, so 2007, 2008 type of?
Yeah, 2009, April 2009.
Oh yeah, tough times.
So, I mean, the economy tanked, and anyway, that's when I started freelancing. I built up my business, and then in 2011, I went to a conference, got into a mastermind group with a guy named Trey Smith, and started thinking more about apps because a lot of the friends that I made in that mastermind group had gotten into apps. And so in September of 2011, I thought, well, it can't hurt to actually storyboard an app. That's not going to cost me any money. But of course, as you know, the more time you invest in something, the more you begin to care about it. And the app that was born out of that whole process was Mustache Bash.
Okay.
And so I hired a programmer in December of 2011, and we started working on it in January and finally published it in April of 2012. And the rest is history, I guess.
Oh, excellent. So now tell us about your source code. How many do you have for sale right now?
I have 6 source codes for sale right now, and there's some other ones in the pipeline, but I'll keep those top secret just to just to create a sense of mystique in this podcast. But the 6 I have for sale right now are, you know, in different categories, because what has created reliable income for me has been diversity. A lot of people focus only on games, and I've found that, you know, games have that roller coaster ride when it comes to revenue and profitability, and that's great, especially if you get a big spike in revenue. But because I started out with photo apps, and then I ended up doing a reference app and an entertainment app, by the time I got into games, I had wider experience, so to speak, and realized, hey, having some diversity in your app portfolio actually helps create a more consistent earning.
Yeah, it's so, like spread the eggs, you know, so the more, you know, the web becomes bigger and you have more different sources of revenues. Yeah, definitely like it. We even had a guest on a prior episode. His name was Vlad, and he's killing the app flipping in the medical field. That's amazing how he can reskin medical apps. Amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there are all sorts of niches out there. And, you know, and at, like, as the number of people creating apps grows, you know, the same thing that happened with the web will happen in the mobile realm, which is, okay, you know, I need to find a niche and then I need to kind of dominate that niche. People were doing that with websites and they were using search engine optimization to, you know, help their websites rank number one, and then, you know, using affiliate links and that sort of thing to earn an income that way. And I see the app ecosystem headed the same way, where rather than just create a game and hope that, you know, Penguin or Panda or Zoo Lovers out there,
or Ninjas, yeah.
Right, exactly. You know, you do something like medical apps or reference apps, or even if you love barefoot running or fly fishing or long distance cycling, or, you know, I think people will start to look at their own hobbies and interests and build apps around their hobbies and interests, rather than just saying, okay, what are other people doing right now that's making money?
Oh, thanks for this great look into the future. I appreciate it. Okay, so I think most of your apps, or if not all the source codes you have to sell for sale, are on iPhone devices and iPads probably. Why not Android, or am I wrong?
Well, I am developing Mustache Bash for Android, and it's 98% finished. So,
okay.
My tester sent back feedback, which I handed off to my programmer yesterday. And so once we implement whatever changes the tester suggested, that code will be finished. We'll just publish it and be off to the races. You know, Android is catching up to iOS in terms of revenue.
Yes, and if we follow the statistics, at some point, we're going to have the Android that's going to take over, you know. But
absolutely, you know. And they'll have the market penetration too. I mean, there are just so many Android devices around the world that, and, you know, honestly, I may be seen as a contrarian for saying this. It's not like Microsoft is going to roll over and just let Google and Apple have all of the mobile space. So Windows Phone will be, it's not going anywhere. That's another place to look.
So you're saying that it's just a matter of time. Microsoft has, the weapons to get their share of the market type of thing?
Well, Windows Phone users spend more per capita on apps and in the App Store than Android or iOS users.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that fact. Okay.
A lot of people don't know that, no. But here's the thing. No one's talking about Windows Phone. It's not the trendy
That's
thing.
That's right. Yeah, it's not hip. That's right.
Right. And so there are probably some Windows developers out there who are doing really, really well for themselves and don't want to tell anybody because they'll end up spoiling their own party.
It's funny that you say that because I read that article of this guy that's pulling $30,000 a month on his game on Windows Phone. That was pretty surprising.
You think about where the iOS App Store was about 4 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And you didn't have oversaturation. And so if you're flashlight or fart app or your run tracker app or whatever app you created, there weren't a lot of other options. You didn't have the competition. That's where the Windows Store is now.
Wow.
And a lot of people just aren't talking about it.
Well, dude, as soon as I'm finished with this episode, I'm going to start programming for Windows phones, I'm telling you.
Well, I wish you much success. I think it will probably be easier to carve out a slice of the pie in there than in iOS, for sure.
Well, maybe, but I'm not going to give up on the iPhone market, I'm telling you straight.
Well, do both, right? Or do
Absolutely.
All three.
Yep. Okay, so now I'd like to focus on one of the source codes you have for sale. The one that I really like is the Candy Crush inspired one. It's called Viva Stampede, right?
Correct.
So it's basically a match three mechanics type of game. So let me see, what do we want to learn about it? Is there some type of documentation or any walkthrough that's provided with the source code?
Yes, the source code comes with step-by-step instructions for reskinning the app, and you know, I talked it over with the original designer. Like I own the game and I own the code, but I hired a guy who's lives in Knoxville, Tennessee, with me, and he's really talented. And you know, he basically agreed to hand over all of the design assets. So once I finish with the iPad update, because right now the code is iPhone and iPod only, and we're in the final stages of the iOS 7 update, and okay. Then we're going to move to the iPad update. And so once all that's finished, I'm going to be given, including the iPad Photoshop files, with the source code too, to help people with graphic design and that sort of thing. So, you know, anytime we package up a code, we try to make it as easy as possible for people to use. I mean, there are always going to be issues, somebody using an old version of Xcode or somebody testing on a device that doesn't have enough memory, somebody trying to work primarily on a PC, which usually doesn't produce the best results. But for the most part, you know, the code is ready to go and easy to work with. It's you know, it's got a Objective-C game engine, so you don't have to bother with like the Cocos 2D or OpenGL framework.
Oh, so it's native. Excellent. So yeah, so you won't be bothered with any other framework you need to add to the code.
There are fewer moving parts, you know, and I think those frameworks can save a lot of time depending on the project, but that also means there are more things to break if you change anything. So Absolutely. The fact that it's all Xcode, you know, Objective-C means that I think the code's a little more robust. Sorry.
Okay. Now, how about the game mechanics and the replay value? I know that Candy Crush is very addictive, and so one user may play, you know, like really dozens of hours, if not hundreds of hours on that game. How about your source code? Have you seen something along those lines?
Yeah, we've seen really high user retention because people like the match 3 style game. It's a one gesture game, meaning you can play it with one finger.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I mean, and you think about the games that have been the most popular, most of them are simple, one swipe, one gesture games. Angry Birds is that way, Temple Run is that way, Candy Crush is that way. They're simple games. Now, I will say, Candy Crush is one of a kind. I mean, even King's other games haven't come close to the success
That's
of Candy
right.
Crush.
Yeah, I read an article on the pet game that they made. It's doing good, but not as good as Candy Crush. And they just can't do it again. They're trying.
Right. I mean, there was a moment in time. I mean, it's kind of like you can't out Angry Birds. It was the first mobile iOS game that became a household brand, right? And if you try to replicate that, then your app's just going to be derivative. So we tried to keep that in mind, and we actually wanted to create a simpler match 3 tile style game that was a lot of fun, but also, you know, if you're an indie studio with a limited budget, you know, you don't have the money to put into you just don't have the budget. So we tried to make the best, you know, do as good as we can with creating a really fun game that would bring people back. And I haven't looked at the user engagement in a while, but last I looked, for about a week there, people who had downloaded it were playing it every day.
Yeah, for sure. So I don't want my audience to expect, you know, a Candy Crush, you know, like level of functionality and mechanics. You know, this cost millions of dollars to get such a source code, you know.
Oh, and it was on Facebook even before it was on iOS, and so the power of having a, like, I can't imagine how much they spend on servers, but to provide that the continuity of user experience from Facebook to iPad to iPhone, and I think it may be is it HTML too?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either, but you can play it a bunch of different ways. And man, I mean, they have done an incredible job, and they deserve it. So, and I don't, you know, I admire what they've been able to accomplish. And
yeah, for sure. Let's come back on your source code. Something that when I personally flip apps and reskin them, I like to know how many images there is to reskin before even starting a project. Because I want to know, you know, how much is that going to cost me if I hire a graphic designer to work on the assets? Do you have some kind of an idea about the hands-on display and the main graphic assets?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of graphics in the game, but at the same time, anyone who reskins it, they kind of know what they're getting into in advance. I'm happy to share the assets list. It's just a spreadsheet that shows all of the graphics that go into the game. The good news is we ask that people create new character art and new backgrounds, but otherwise people are free to reuse the sound effects. They're free to use the different user interface elements. And so a lot of the graphics that are already in the game are reusable.
Oh, nice. So some people could go the lazy way and reskin just what's necessary to make a new look and be done with it, so you don't have to basically change every image is there, right?
Right, and I think it depends on people's goals for their app business. I mean, some people are trying to get out games as quickly as possible, and they don't emphasize branding. My team always wants to create apps that make an impression with, you know, a great color palette and really nice design. And so we're going to put extra time and effort and resources into branding. But, you know, there's a whole spectrum out there. And, you know, Viva is one of those source codes that if you are just getting started and kind of want to, you know, get your feet wet and want to put out a game, well, you could keep costs to a minimum and still have a game that is a lot of fun to play. Or if you want to spend a little more money and create a game that's one of a kind, then you could do that too.
Okay, excellent. Now, something I want to know is that using a game center? Because some people are wondering if they have to go through the whole process of setting up the game center within the game.
The update now, the iOS 7 update, includes Game Center integration.
Okay.
So it will have high scores for the, let's see, timed mode and for the levels mode. So, and also it's got some additional social sharing functionality.
Okay.
So if you get a new high score, it will give you the option to post that on Facebook. And so that's kind of cool just because I know people care about what their friends have scored. And honestly, the social and viral aspect of Candy Crush is one of the things that made it so successful. So
yeah, big time. It's very competitive. Absolutely.
Right. And so, yeah, we're including some of that in the update. And like I said, the update could be ready as soon as tomorrow. It just depends on what the tester says.
Cool. So early November or mid-November, we should have those updates, right?
It could be tomorrow, it could be Saturday for the iOS 7 update. And then as soon as that one's finished, we're going to make the code universal and add iPad support. So, you know, my programmer has told me that it will take him a week to add iPad support. So I would love it if it was the middle of November that we were able to offer that, for sure.
Good to hear. Now, how about analytics? You know, some people want to know how to tweak it. Is there any analytics that we can use within the game?
Sorry, any what?
Any analytics, you know, such as Flurry or, you know, Google
Analytics.
Oh,
yeah. It's already got Flurry integrated.
Excellent.
It's got the analytics and it's got banner ads. So it's ready to go in that respect.
So it does have the monetization already included with it, right?
Yes, it's got an in-game currency set up, you know, with tokens, and the token system is also integrated with Playhaven, so that between levels, if the player, you know, once the player levels up, they're given the option to accept 100 tokens as a reward for passing the level, and then they can use those tokens to buy power-ups, They can also buy the power-ups as standalone in-app purchases.
So, oh, excellent. So I see there's a monetization through in-app purchases and also through advertisements, right?
You got it.
Excellent. All right, now let's talk about price. You know, everybody wants to know. I think you have two different types of licenses. You have the individual license, which is basically you can only reuse this, you can only reskin it once. And the unlimited license, you can reuse it as many times as you want. So what are those prices?
Right now, the price is $249 for the single-use license. Okay. And it is $379 for the multi-use license. And to put it into a little bit of perspective, we've got about 430 development hours into it at this point. You know, so you can do the math. Even if you found a programmer for $20 an hour, you're still looking at, you know, over $8,000 to create the code from scratch. So $249 and $379.
Yeah, you don't even have to do the math. You know, I mean, right, it's a no-brainer. It's like, I mean, it's pretty much given away for free because you would risk in that, you know, and you're going to make your money back. You know.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I got started back, like I said, in January of 2012. Mm-hmm. And I wish someone had come along and said to me, hey, before you go out and create a photo app from scratch, why don't you see if there's a photo booth app out there that has like a lot of the functionality you're looking for? And because I found out after I created Mustache Bash that there were already source codes out there available for licensing. So
you learn the hard way. Yeah.
You live and learn.
Absolutely. Yeah, but see, now you're not doing the same mistake again. Now, you know, you're selling it and you're teaching to other people so they don't have to go through this pain again.
Very true. You know, it's funny. People are like, hey, how much money can I make with this source code? And I'm like, well,
the million-dollar question, right?
Right. I mean, it depends. Like there are. I don't know if you ever ran across Avalanche Mountain.
Absolutely,
from Brian
yes.
Apple. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, he brings up a great point where, you know, the original source code that he created wasn't all that successful. But I personally know the developer who did a reskin of Avalanche Mountain, and it went to number 9 free overall.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not just about the game mechanics. It's, you know, it's a whole work that you have to put into it, you know, such as the keywords, what's trendy, the graphics, the icons. I mean, it's a lot of work and, you know, it's a job, you know, it takes skills and mastery. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and I think you do have a lot of people who are looking for a silver bullet, and apps seem like the next big thing. So they get into it and they basically hope to be lazy and to make a lot of money while being lazy. And, you know, I've found that the people who are successful with apps are the people who would have been successful with just about anything they had chosen, because they work hard, they come up with a smart marketing plan. You know, they get to know people, they network, they have people who can help them and answer questions. The biggest thing, I think, is finding a community of other indie developers who can offer you encouragement and, you know, you share information, you share resources. Oh, you know, which ad company has the best eCPMs right now? Well, we're using this one and we're using this one, you know, so you're not...
You're not alone. Yeah, you're not like secluded in your corner, and you know you don't know what's going on. Definitely, and right. That's pretty much what this podcast is all about. You know, getting all those people together and sharing knowledge.
Yep, and yep. I mean, I'm totally behind that, because I know I was in a tough spot at various points, and you know the people who had been successful were like, "Oh yeah, man, I've been there. You just need to keep on going," and they were right.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you hear all those people, all those successful people saying, well, you just got to, you know, it's a state of mind and a way of life. You got to put yourself into it and keep going. But, you know, it's very hard, because sometimes you never see the end of the tunnel, you know. Everything's just gloomy and everything's just, you know, dark. And sometimes you just take one, you know, one hit, and then things are going smoothly after that.
Yep. I mean... One guy I've followed at different points in time named Seth Godin, who's in the marketing world, you know, he calls it the dip. And what happens if you make it through the dip is you'll end up meeting some of your goals. And it should come as no surprise that a lot of those breakthroughs come after the most challenging times in your business. And if you give up, then you never give yourself the chance to meet some of those goals.
Okay, excellent. Now, I have a killer question. Now, what do you think people would go with your source codes instead of going to some other ones? Like, what makes your source code so special? Or what is it you have extra that others may not have?
Well, all of them are built from scratch, you know, and okay. And I like to think that, you know, now granted, we use some third-party libraries.
Yeah, everybody does, you know, I mean, right, don't reinvent the wheel.
Right, exactly. So if we find some basic functionality out there, it makes no sense to build it from scratch. We do try to give credit where credit is due if we've used other people's code. But that being said, like, a big part of it, I think, is like good documentation and good support. Now, granted, you know, I get anywhere from 50 to 100 emails a day. So
yes, and I'm a witness of your support because I have a friend of mine that needs some help on your Joker's app, and I saw that you answered him, and you know, very nicely done. I mean, it's something I could have helped him with, but he went straight to you first, and. Definitely you really helped him out there. Yeah,
right.
And I thank you for that.
Well, I'm happy to do it, you know, and I appreciate my customers and I try to take good care of them. That being said, you know, a lot of times there's no polite way to share a truth that I've discovered, which is teaching yourself how to do things and taking initiative is a lot more important than... than doing it the fast way sometimes. Now, to explain that a little bit, my assistant wanted to figure out how to reskin apps. And he realized that if he came and asked me a question anytime he had a question, then he was going to be dependent upon me to answer all of his questions. And he was never going to kind of he was never going to grow past what I myself knew.
I totally agree with you. Absolutely.
And so for us, it's the balance of, yes, we want to provide support and we want to help people with troubleshooting, but at the same time...
They got to do their part, yeah.
Right. And one of the things that has made me successful is that I'm a self-starter and almost to a fault. Sometimes the shortcut is identifying someone who knows more than you and asking that person a question. At other times, if you have a longer view of business and of success, then the shortcut is asking a different question. So rather, rather than ask who can help you the quickest, you ask, can I help myself?
Oh, right. Can I do it on my own first?
I do it on my own? Because if you teach yourself how to do something on your own, it's going to stick with you. And developing those practices and habits of trying to answer your own questions and take initiative and go out and find those resources. Because, I mean, these days you can teach yourself how to do most anything on the web.
That's right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you use Google and you'll find anything. If not, you can always ask a question. You'll get an answer in the next hour. Absolutely.
Right. And so I try to share that with people as often as I can, rather than always look to someone else to help you.
Yes, like you said, you have to go into that habit of getting stuff on your own. And this will pay back for sure.
Right, right. And I mean, and the idea is, I'm hoping that many of my students, so to speak, will surpass their master. Many already have, you know, but if I'm not doing a very good job as a teacher, if some of the people who license the source codes for me are not significantly more successful than I have been.
I see. I mean, it's a pretty new industry. So, you know, as time goes by, I expect some, amazing results coming out of people using your source codes. That's a no-brainer.
I certainly hope so. It would make me glad.
Excellent. And I'm sure some of the people I'm going to invite on that show are people that are already using your source codes, and they're going to have a great success in the near future.
Well, you know, a rising tide floats all boats, you know. So if I'm more a fan of collaboration than I am of competition.
Absolutely. Helping each other, it's a win-win situation.
That's right.
Yep. I know you're a bit short on time, so I'm going to try to cut this down a little bit. Okay, so something I would like to know is there any type of book, or whether it's on the business side or on the source code side, anything you'd like to recommend to somebody that's starting in the app flipping industry?
The two books that I read when I first got started were App Savvy by Ken Yarmish.
Okay.
I connected with him on Twitter. He's a nice guy. And, you know, he looks at it more as he's not talking about the reskinning game. He's talking about doing your due diligence and researching a great idea before you spend a penny. And so I really like the way he thinks about that. You know, okay. you can have the best app of its kind, but if you don't have a hungry crowd, then you're not going to be successful. So the other one I read was App Empire by Chad Morita.
Yeah, we've had lots of people talking about this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good book, and he's got, like, the thing I've used more than anything from that book are the questions that he has for asking, for questions that you ask while interviewing programmers. Mm-hmm. And so I've used those questions quite a bit. But like anything else, if you're looking for a foolproof recipe or plan, there's no book out there that has that plan, because the ecosystem is evolving too rapidly.
I see what you mean. Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the comments somebody had earlier, is that his techniques are a little bit obsolete. But lots of the, you know, like the actual state of mind behind it is still actual. Definitely.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree with that more. It's what's more important than any particular tactic is a mindset of always being open to innovation, being an avid reader, trying to stay up to date on the latest marketing tactics, that kind of thing.
All right, thanks. I appreciate it. Now, I have to ask you about any internet resources you recommend. Now, I know you've been working on something lately, so please talk about it.
Well, I have a marketing background, and so when I got started in apps, it just made sense to me to market my apps, because I'm like, well, that's, you know, just best practices. You don't put something out there in the world and cross your fingers and hope for the best.
Yeah, not much is going to happen if you do that.
Not much is going to happen. You know, it might have happened a while back when there weren't a bunch of competing apps, but chances are these days that if you have an app, there's already one out there similar to it, and sometimes it's the app that's marketed the best that wins. And so I set out to write a marketing guide. I got started back in July. And I mean, it's going through everything like, okay, how do you choose keywords? You know, should you just choose keywords that get searched for a lot? Or should you choose keywords that don't have a lot of apps competing for them? And I mean, the trick is it's a balance between the two. Another one is like, I've found that a lot of people, they aren't aggressive about getting reviews for their apps, and reviews factor heavily into Apple's ranking algorithm. And so the more reviews you have, the more regular reviews you have, the better your app tends to rank for certain keywords.
And absolutely. And it's like a vicious cycle, you know, so the more reviews you get, the more people are going to download your app, and the more people that download your app, you're going to have more reviews and so on. So, you know, it's like a hurricane. It keeps pushing you up. Definitely.
That's exactly right. And so, but, you know, it just goes step by step through what a good marketing plan looks like. And it includes some other tools that I've developed along the way. For example, I have kept an up-to-date master list of all of the app-related resources available online. So at this point, that list is like an Excel spreadsheet. It's got over 200 entries in it, okay. You know. And so it's everything from like, oh, here are free icon templates, and you know, over here, here's a great way to do screen capture videos for your apps. I mean, it's a comprehensive list. There is not a more comprehensive list available. So there's a bunch of other stuff that I've created along the way, and I'm excited to eventually share it with people.
Excellent. Okay, so now we all know that you have those great source codes, and you definitely are one of the top best in the industry. Okay, it's a pretty young industry, but still, you're one of the top, you know, all the way up top out there. So what are your next goals? In the sense that, okay, you got the source code part pretty much, you know, up to the T, it's working great and smoothly. How do you plan on expanding?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, you know, short-term goals are finish the source codes that are already in the pipeline. Okay. Then after that, you know, I need to create a better website where all of these resources can live. Because, you know, there's brightnewt.com, which is my marketing and consulting business, and that's where the source codes currently live in terms of, like, the sales pages and that sort of thing. Then there's the marketing guide that is finished, and I've handed it off to the designer. We'll probably launch that in late November.
Okay.
But then there's AppFlip Alerts, which you know about, which is an automated little service that it's free right now, and people can sign up and they'll get an alert anytime a new listing shows up in one of the code marketplaces.
Yes, I subscribe to it. Now I gotta tell my audience that right now it's in beta, so it's free, right? So
it is free. You know, I have gone back and forth about whether or not to make it a subscription service eventually. But when I had a conversation about it the other day, I think we'll keep it free for at least the next week or two. But but then there's all sorts of other stuff that I've got planned. Like a big part of it is a lot of people who get into apps, they don't have a strong understanding of the business model that works. And so, you know, I haven't even talked about this side of things much, but I do custom development for clients.
Okay.
So people come to me, they want apps created. They don't want to become developers themselves. They basically just want me to hand them a product, to create a product for them.
Cool. So someone will come to you and say, hey, I have this idea. I want a mobile app or game that does this and this and that. And you make it happen?
Yep.
All right. Very nice. Well, thanks for everything. And now if my audience wants to get in touch with you, how do we do that?
They just go to brightnewt.com, fill out the contact form. That's the easiest way. I'm on Twitter sometimes. I would typically offer my email address, but these days that seems to be the slowest way to get in touch with me because I'm currently living under a mountain of email. But, you know, I'm normally not that difficult to find, and you'll either hear back from me or you'll hear back from my assistant, Tyler, who's, he's a good guy, and like I said, he just wrote a blog post the other day about what it was like for him to work on a reskin while knowing absolutely nothing. So I'd love to hear from people. Just go to brightnewt.com.
Excellent. Well, I got to tell you, this interview was absolutely legendary. I really appreciate it, Austin, for everything you're doing for myself and for the whole audience out there. So we definitely keep in touch. Is there anything else you want to say before we say goodbye?
I wish everyone much success. And like we said earlier, just keep at it. It's persistence that pays off.
All right. Thank you so much, Austin. Take care.
All right. Thank you. You do the same, Johan.
All right.
Bye-bye.
One last thing before leaving, I wanted to let you know that if you go to appfresh.us, that's appfresh.us/mountains, then over there you'll see the source code. You can just go there and buy it. Also, if you have any questions, you can post all your comments and anything that's of your concerns, you can put it out there. I repeat, it's appfresh.us/mountains. Now, don't ask me why I said mountains. It's like the first thing that came to my mind. It's not even like I looked outside of the window, because I live in Florida, there's no mountain whatsoever. The only mountains that we have are actually garbage dumpsters. Okay, well, TMI. I know. Something else I would like to say, I personally have taken a look at some of Austin's source codes, and they're all of them amazing, especially this one, this Viva Stampede, Candy Crush inspired game. Now, it might not be for all of you guys, in the sense that it requires some backgrounds or, you know, some a certain level of maturity from you guys. You may need a programmer, and you definitely will need a graphic designer. So I give a reskinning difficulty level of 3 to 4 out of 5. Okay, so it's not really for the first newbie in the mobile app reskinning industry. If you want something that's easier, you should definitely take a look at my Udemy course called How to Make Your Own iPhone Game in 1 Day Without Coding. Now, this one is not about a Candy Crush game, but it's about reskinning a pinball game, and we're going, of course, from zero to hero. It goes, well, this course starts with you knowing nothing. We just start with a blank Mac OS's computer. So you're basically there with your computer, and we go through every single step to get you all the way to the App Store and your pinball game app published. Yep. Also, at that time, you should check out appfresh.us, because there might be actually an lower barrier entry-level Candy Crush clone that I'm in the process of making. Thanks for listening to the Mobile App Flipping Podcast. If you find this podcast interesting, please subscribe on iTunes and leave us a review. And sharing is caring, so spread the word. You can also follow me on Twitter at Johan305. That's YOHANN305. Also, come to appfresh.us. appfresh.us. You'll find all the episodes, the show notes, and resources to make you more productive. See you at the next episode.